Now, sometimes we don't take care of sin right away. We allow it to roll up. Listen, God wants us to keep short accounts with Him.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of tonight's message that aired last week, Pastor Brian Grant used the counterstory of King Joash in 2 Kings 13 to show a man who, despite the enormous potential in the dying prophet's counsel, ended up a defeated man, unable to bring deliverance to his nation simply because he never expected much from God. Sin is always a problem. Thus, Pastor Grant's first principle that must characterize the kind of man or woman God is looking for to make a difference is that person who keeps short accounts with God, quick to confess and experience the cleansing power of Jesus' blood. And this evening, Pastor Grant brings the concluding part of his encouraging message with a challenge of two further characteristics. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings to conclusion his message entitled, Who is God Looking For? Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Israel was not keeping short accounts with God. Look at verse 3. Let me look at 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 3, 6, and 7. Verse number 3, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and he delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. Verse number 6, nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin, but walked in them, and the wooden image also remained in Samaria, for he left of the army of Jehoahaz only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, 10,000 foot soldiers, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing. Listen, Israel had been reduced to a shadow of what they once were, but they were still rebellious. They continued to worship idols. You know, I did a little research and I discovered that during King David's time, Israel had at one point 1.6 million troops. Now, in case you don't realize it, I also looked this up, and the United States right now has 1.3 million active men and women in the military. Israel once had, in the time of David, more active troops than we do in the United States of America. But listen, because of their rebellion, you see what the text tells us, how badly they had fallen. They were now just a shadow of what they once were. They now only had 10,000. The Bible takes the time to tell you 10,000 foot soldiers was all that was left. They were little more than Philadelphia's police force. 50 horsemen. I think we got more than 50 people on horses in Philly. And 10 chariots. The military was now, listen good. It was less than 1% of what it used to be. Because of sin, they had experienced devastation, but they would not repent. You know, there are folks like that today. They're in a sinking boat, but they'd rather sink than grab hold of God's lifeline. I know I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Your life is a mess. You've heard the gospel over and over and over, but you're rebelling against God. You're continuing to do it your way. You're everything. Listen, your parents taught you the word of God, but you have rebelled and you're walking contrary to the things of God. And your life is a mess, but you're still continuing. What is it going to take to shake you? What is it going to take to bring you to God? Listen, Jesus is not going to die again. He already died for your sin. And my friend, listen, there is no salvation in no other. Jesus is the only way. And this morning we encourage you to come to Him. Grab a hold of Him. He will save you. He will rescue you. He will deliver you. Amen. But there are Christians like that too. They're living in sin, but they're refusing to turn. This morning, God is asking you, my friend, you might be here this morning, you might be watching, and you're refusing to turn. God is asking every single one of us. This is not just for the preachers. God is asking us, every one of us who name the name of Jesus, to keep short accounts to him. Don't allow your sin to pile up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is a verse we know very well, but let's put it on the board anyhow. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9, here's what it tells us. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wickedness. Amen. Hey, don't think that what God is saying is that at the end of every day, you say, Lord, forgive me for all the sins I did today. That's not keeping short accounts. Short accounts is when you sinned at 10 o'clock. You prayed to God about the sin you just did at 10 o'clock. And you name it. Own it. God, you saw that lie I told. Would you forgive me? That's keeping short accounts. You claim the sin. You actually state what it is you did. And you do it. And God says, when we do this, when we keep short accounts with him and we confess the sins we know about, guess what? There are some sins you do that you don't even realize you did it. He says, when you acknowledge the ones you know about, he's going to cleanse you from all other wickedness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There can be a clean, clear way between us and God. Have you been keeping short accounts with God? If you haven't, I trust you'll start today. But listen, God is not only looking for someone who keeps short accounts with him, but secondly, God is looking for someone brimming with faith in his promises. God is looking for someone brimming in faith with his promises. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 to 17. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window," and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. Ha, you say, so what? Elisha was one of Israel's great iconic figures, and he was now extremely sick and was not expected to recover. And Joash the king went to pay tribute to him, and during the visit, the prophet rested his hand on the king and told him to shoot an arrow through the east window. Why the east window? This was very significant. You see, the king of Syria had been seizing Israel's territory to the east. And Elisha was telling Joash to shoot the arrows towards the land that had been captured by the Syrians. And note what Elisha said after Joash shot the arrow. I'm reading verse number 17. I'm going to pick up in the middle of verse 17. Here is what Elisha said after the king shot the arrow. Elisha said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." I hope you get what Elisha was saying. Elisha was telling him that God intended to deliver all the territories to the east that had been captured by the Syrians, but that he was telling the king, "But listen, King Joash, you're going to have to keep striking the Syrians until you destroy them." But Joash didn't take him seriously. You say, how do we know? Look at verse 18. Then he said, take the arrows. So he took them, and the prophet was having just warned him, you're going to have to strike and strike till you have destroyed them. He said to the king, strike the ground. So the king struck the ground 3 times and stopped. And the man of God was angry and said, you should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike only 3 times. Joash went through the motions, just trying to make the old guy happy before he died. But Joash did not expect much from God. Despite the losses they had suffered, Joash was satisfied with the status quo. Some of you listening this morning don't expect much from God either. You may be a good Christian. You may be one that loves to come to church to sing the songs of worship and praise. You may be one of those that if we didn't have on our mask, you'd be one of those whose voice would resonate because you're so filled with passion when you sing the songs of worship and praise. You may be so excited about worship and still you're not brimming with faith in God. You just don't expect God to do very much.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
But Mike, that's why I love sometimes watching the Sunday school kids. The Sunday school kids, and would to God that they would grow up really believing this. When they sing that song, there was a song that as I was preparing came into my mind. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. Hallelujah. And it's true. Our God is so big. He is so strong. He is so mighty. There is nothing he cannot do. My Bible says he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. Do you believe that? This morning, God is saying to every person, he is looking for a few good men, a few good women. Hey, your history might not say that you're a good person, but this morning everything can change if you're willing to commit yourself to him. He's looking for a few people who are willing to trust him, who are willing to be overflowing with faith in him. According to your faith, be it unto you. And God wants to do the impossible. Yes, for some, this is the worst of times. But for that young man, that young woman who would say to God this morning, God, I'm available to you. It's going to be the best of times because this is going to be the time when God uses you to make unbelievable impact in this world. My friends, write this down if you have a pen. And we're going to put it on the screen. God is looking for a few people brimming with faith in his promises, confident that God will use them to do the impossible. Just say that with me. God is looking for a few people brimming with faith in his promises, confident that God will use them to do the impossible. For the eyes of the Lord are searching the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. And my friend, it is my prayer that this morning you will decide, please use me. God is looking for someone who keeps short accounts with Him. God is looking for someone brimming with faith in His promises. And finally, God is looking for someone committed to pursuing His purposes. I'm at verse number 20. Then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was as they were burying a man that suddenly they spied a band of raiders, and they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was led down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Can you imagine if you were there? Well, despite Elisha's prophecy that Joash would have 3 victories over Syria, Joash, King Joash, had done absolutely nothing. God had to perform a miracle through a corpse to stoke his faith. The Jewish people, some Jewish people were burying a dead man. They saw the enemies coming. They quickly put the man in Elisha's tomb. When the man's remains touched Elijah, he came alive. This was obviously not a miracle of Elisha. Some commentaries will say this was a miracle of Elijah. It could not be a miracle of Elisha because he was dead. Dead people don't do miracles. Whatever you're going to do for God, don't wait till you're dead. Because when you're dead, you ain't doing nothing. Whatever your hand finds to do for God, you do it right now and do it with all your might. This was evidently and obviously a miracle of God, and they realized that God was speaking and was reminding them that He would carry out all the prophecies of Elisha. God was saying, listen, what Elisha told you under my authority, I am ready and willing to fulfill, but you gotta get off the bench. And if you won't sit on the bench here at GCA, we're glad you come and help us keep the benches warm. But listen, not much is going to happen if all you want to do is come and sit on the bench. The action is outside. The action is in the streets. The action is in the world. The action is in your neighborhood. The action is in your family. The action is on your job. And God is specially empowering you. Hallelujah. He's specially empowering. He is looking through the whole earth. What a verse. He is searching. If you think of it, it is actually saying that despite the fact that we're all blood-bought children of God, it's evident we're not that anxious to get up and roll. And God is searching and searching for somebody who He can specially strengthen to accomplish His purpose. And this morning, in the middle of this pandemic, God is challenging everybody here, no matter your age or your stage. He's saying it's time to go. So look at what happened here in verse number 24. Now Hazael, king of Syria, died. Then Ben-Hadad, his son, reigned in his place. Jehoash, the son, or Joash, that's the same one, the son of Jehoahaz, recaptured from the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, the cities which he had taken out of the hand of Jehoahaz, his father, by war. 3 times Joash defeated him and recaptured the cities of Israel. God kept His word to the very last letter. Three times he struck. Three times Elisha said you would have victory. He had exactly three, not four, not two. God will keep his word. But I tell you, may God help us. Let me put it on one last time for you. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. We're going to put it on the screen one last time. You say, Pastor, we have seen this verse before, and we want to make sure I'm keeping to put it up. I keep putting it up because I want it riveted. I believe God wants it riveted in your heart and my heart, that the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Are you willing to fully commit to him today? Well, I know you tell me, you're going to tell me all the visions you have, all the dreams you have for your life. Are you willing to fully commit your heart to the Lord today? Barry and I were great friends as teenagers, and for a while he lived in our home. The computer industry was brand new, and Barry had a tremendous aptitude for computers, so his career was off to an incredible start. But you know, in his mid-20s, Barry committed his life to God. He determined that he wanted to pursue God's purposes, and so he resigned from the computer, IBM or whichever company it was at the time. He resigned and he went to work for Dude for Christ. And after that, he came here to seminary where he did his doctor in family counseling. And I want you to know, you all know him. Most of you here know him because Dr. Barry Davidson has been here on several occasions. I'll be honest with you, when he made his decision to leave secular employment, many of us were surprised. But I tell you that God used him in such a mighty way. He established this ministry in Jamaica called Family Life Ministries, not connected with the one here. And you know, God has used them, blessed them. They're the largest counseling ministry of any type in the entire Caribbean. But I tell you, this is all about biblical counseling. They have centers all across Jamaica and in other parts of the Caribbean. And because of his ministry and the individuals he has trained, including others, moms who are sitting right here this morning, but I know he has trained so many, but that ministry has impacted tens of thousands of lives in the Caribbean. Tens of thousands have come to experience hope in Jesus Christ, because one young man said to God, God, I want to pursue your purposes. Will you empower me? Well, his work has been so recognized by the government because he has impacted so many of their lives too, that the government, the people of Jamaica, gave him one of the highest civilian honors a few years ago for his work that he has done to impact lives and to bring change. Listen, this could be the greatest opportunity you will ever have to make a difference. Oh, I know that the evil one wants you to roll back in fear, and there's reason to be concerned. And don't do anything that God doesn't tell you to do. But I tell you, through all the technology we have, there is so much we can do. We can use the phone. We can send emails. There is so much we can do to share this life-changing gospel. The question is, are you going to say to God this morning, if you want to use anybody, God, use me. Lord, I am available to you. Please use me. And our Father, I pray by the mighty name of Jesus that he will use me. I pray that there might be others willing to make that commitment to you, who will say, God, use me. Lord,
if you're willing to strengthen, because God, we're weak, but God, if you're going to strengthen us, we will make ourselves available to you.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.